views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Welcome. I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
And on today's show, we have Donna Mitchell-Moniak returning.
Donna, thank you, guys.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. Donna, for those listeners who may not know, is the creator of the Practice of Living Awareness, which is much of the meat and potatoes of this show. And she's also the founder of Spirit Fire. So it's always a treat to have Donna on, and the conversation is always quite rich. So, Donna, welcome back. We're here again. So,
thank you.
We're talking about an upcoming class at Spirit Fire called Humanity's Path of Light, Introducing the Stages of Awakening series. So it's a brand new series of classes. We've spent the beginning of the year basically talking about living awareness as a whole. We spent much of the earlier months going through the steps of the practice of living awareness. And as we ended that round, we were sort of so thrilled by this just concept of living awareness and light, humanity's path. And this class is coming up, a new series. So we thought we'd have you join us and talk a bit about the class. So, Donna.
Thank you. And you know where Tim got a little interrupted by technology there. He was doing a wonderful intro because Tim helps me organize all these classes. A wonderful intro on the stages themselves, the stages of the path of awakening that is this series, and I'm very excited about it.
Yes, theology is one segment. Humanity, another segment, philosophy, and science. So, such juicy topics. And we're going to go into each of those a little bit. I have a feeling they'll all unfold very naturally as we start talking about the spiritual path. So, just to start things off, the spiritual path, Donna, so could you sort of tell us, we're all familiar with our life's path. We look back and we see what life has shown us, the experiences as they add up, they sort of become our path. And we all sort of know where we'd like to go. Life is going to take us somewhere. We're on our life's path. Now, what would the difference between the spiritual path and one's life path? What's the difference between those two?
I'm not sure if there actually is a difference. And as the introduction to the radio show was playing, and it was about meditation, mindfulness, and basically the integration of that into one's life. And I think that one of the goals that you both have with this show is to show how seamlessly and easily a practice of mindfulness, thoughtfulness, is integrated into one's life. And so my response to your question would be along that same line, that spiritual path is a word. It's a word like watermelon is a word. And when we hear the word spiritual path, it automatically conjures certain definitions and meanings in our mind. But what if the spiritual path simply meant the path of our life? And that, in fact, it is pointing us in the direction of understanding that to be a human being is to be a spiritual being, which many, many people have been saying, and it's in all kinds of books, and it's actually a quite trendy statement. But what if it's actually true? And that's why it's in so many books and is a trendy statement. So I think there isn't a difference. It's a matter simply of how we're emphasizing living our life. And if that simply is from the heart, mind, and thoughtfulness of being more of our human beingness, if you will.
And the word appreciation came up with me. to me, you know, when you mentioned watermelon, I actually really went into this idea of a watermelon and the fact that it's winter and how much I would appreciate this sense of summer sun and that joy that comes with sort of biting into a watermelon. It's so refreshing and beautiful. And as my mind sort of went there, I thought, well, that could be called a spiritual experience. I mean, one could just in one's appreciation of a watermelon. So as you say, it's a word, and it really is, how do we approach that word and what sort of reverence do we bring to it?
Right. And again, germane to this wonderful radio show and the endeavor that you're putting behind it, the intention that you both have behind it, that you're trying to, through meditation practice and integrating meditation or showing how that kind of thoughtfulness, that kind of awareness of oneself and awareness of one's environment, that is already our life. We can call it whatever we want, and certainly there are meditation practices. Similarly, so as we talk today, I think that we'll find that to live a human life is actually to live spiritually, to live a fully human life. Are there practices and methods that have been, you know, talked about and taught and lineages and all that kind of thing? Absolutely. We'll talk about some of them. But I guess in my mind and my reason for creating a class like this and having taught it previously before in an in-person situation is that there's not much difference, and undoing that divide in our mind simply helps us integrate more of our spiritual nature into our everyday life.
Mm. Yeah, and so I even hear in that spirituality is in our nature. We need not look beyond.
Yeah.
Would just be another way of saying what you're saying. And in sort of my list of questions that are sort of devil's advocate-y, you know, I wrote down how is it that we're not on a spiritual path? You've pretty much answered that in just living true to our nature, we're on the spiritual path.
That's right, because if we look at the spiritual path, as I offered last night in the free online webinar that introduces the whole series, I simply said some people call this process, this kind of ceaseless, consistent process of humanity's self-illumination, calls that evolution. And some people call that a spiritual path. It's the same thing. It actually doesn't matter. So, for instance, somebody might be really focusing on, through a lifetime, the evolution, the maturation of simply a skill set. But what is often not recognized is that skill set helps that person feel better about themselves, be able to offer something to their fellow human being that is helpful and of value. And those two things are actually spiritual: to feel good about oneself and within oneself, and to offer betterment or improvement to the rest of humanity, whether it be our family or our workplace. They're both actually spiritual.
And so theology comes in then. When we come back from a break, we're going to talk about theology, which actually helps one along that path and gives them a bit of a guiding light. So when we get back, more on The Spiritual Path with Donna Mitchell Moniak.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this. We have so much to share. Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases.
businesses. It's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
1230 WBLQ.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you. Yes, I do. Give me that pretty little pout, it turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby, I don't know.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter.
This is Donna, and welcome back. We were just talking about Spirit Fire's upcoming class, The Stages of Awakening, Humanity's Path of Light. And before that, we were talking about the different modules. So there's four different modules: theology, humanity, philosophy, and science. Theology. Donna, you there?
I am.
Oh, good. Mercury thing. I'm just making sure that Mercury's really, like, you know, on our side. So, so I'm glad you're there. Hi. So theology, you know, we are going to talk a bit about that. It's the first segment of the class coming up. And so tell us a little bit about what to expect from that angle that you're taking with this as a guiding light.
Sure, and that's a good way to think on it, a guiding light. One of the curiosities about theology is that it is a widespread way by which deep, important truths are given to humanity or are lived by humanity. And if we reflect on that, any religions that we might know through our friends, our families, our different cultures in our country, then we will see that actually, at essence, there's a lot of commonality to them. So my intention, first off, is to bring forward the commonality of the world traditions, and that includes some traditions that people might not know much about. So we'll include, for instance, shamanic traditions from around the world, some information on Mayan or Incan traditions, as well as ancient Egypt. And then, secondarily, that illumination of our path has been going on for a very long time. So I want to bring forward the idea of the ancient Atlanteans, and even before that, the ancient Lemurians. And some people might not know the word Lemurian, but I think many people know the word or reference of Atlantean. And so I want to bring forward that these beings, these aspects of ourselves, they also had spiritual truths, spiritual traditions. And how can we see them in our current traditional basis?
So these are sort of, in a way, there's a myth, a link between mythology, these sort of stories that are told. I mean, I know, for instance, early in my spiritual path, there was a book called Anatomy of the Spirit, in which there was a comparison of the Hindu chakra system with the Kabbalah system, with the seven sacraments of Catholicism. It was sort of the first time that I had a sort of bigger view of these sort of stories and the ways that these beliefs are organized to sort of show us our similarities and show us the ways we've moved along the path. So we would find a similarity, or what would be then sort of the relationship of looking at an Atlantean sort of version of spirituality, or Lemurian, you know, those words, I find them very interesting. So would those sort of all be related in a lineage, like in a timeline sort of way?
Yes. One of the points that I'd like to make is in the class, that is to say, is that all of our traditions have very deep roots, and the idea of Atlantis and Lemuria is to actually go back to those roots in the ways that we might be able to. And exactly as you mentioned, some of the oldest myths on our planet are very veiled in mystery, and because of the kind of orientation to science that we currently have within humanity, then we might look at these myths as just simply stories and legends, and not necessarily for the truth or the facts that are included within them. And I think that oftentimes with the myths and legends of the world, we do ourselves a favor if we take them at their word.
Could you say a little more about that, taking them at their word?
Well, as an example, if anyone's done any investigation, they have discovered that the myth of the great deluge, that of course is in the Bible, the Judeo-Christian Bible, is also shared by over 140 world myth traditions.
Right, I see where you're going, yes.
Right.
And similarly with the virgin birth as well.
Exactly.
See that as sort of a common theme.
Exactly. And if not virgin, for example, Mithraeus was born of a virgin. Isis was a virgin when she birthed Horus. However, if we don't even look at virgin birth, but we look at pure mother, a woman who was very pure in either her practices or in how she lived her life, then the same idea, again, is in many, many, many traditions.
And sort of asking us, even in a way, to look at Mother Earth, having
right.
birthed us in a way.
Right, and so,
purity even.
And so the idea, one of the ideas that I hope to bring forward through this commonality is not to put any particular belief system into favoritism or into disrepute, not at all, but instead to step back for the bigger picture. If these kinds of ideas are congruent and have been congruent for thousands and thousands of years in traditions as disparate as Mayan tradition and ancient Egyptian and Mongolian tradition, well, what is it saying about the information itself? What is it saying about the underlying truth that's being presented? Simply that it's important.
Yes. Yes. And so that brings us to humanity as a whole. I mean, I find in our conversation, we sort of have this zoom out effect, even when we're talking about very specific, the last several thousand years of the similarities in our religions. And then we think of something like Atlantean or Lemurian. We're really scoping back to what could possibly be millions of years. And it leads me to sort of ask once again, as we were talking about one's individual life path to the spiritual life path, that humanity has a point on a path as a whole. And yet we've all got our own point on the path. So I'm wondering about putting on the path. We've got a couple minutes before break. I'm just wondering if you could kind of just tell us about those words. And when we come back, we've got just 2 minutes about putting on the path. And when we come back, we'll talk about humanity in depth as a module. So putting on the path.
Sure. Really simply, putting on the path is no different than we are born as an infant. We grow through our infancy into childhood, childhood into teenagehood, teenagehood into adulthood, etc. So there's this simple maturing process, and along the way, every aspect of us matures. The spiritual path is to simply turn that into a bigger framework, but it's the same basic idea.
Right, and if we stop at any point and have a look around us as to where we are, that simply would be our point on the path, which just once again says, how are we not? You know, it's kind of a non-judgmental way of saying, well, what is, you know, and wherever we are is that spiritual moment where we're meant to be. And the point on the path would be just sort of an observation of where we are and an acknowledgement.
And if I may, in the 1 minute left, if I may, that keep in mind the complexity. Keep in mind the complexity of what an infant is learning any given moment and expressing. The complexity of what you or I, as mature adults, know and express and experience and filter. So there's a tremendous complexity within that.
Indeed. And I can see how this lenses, each of these lenses is a sort of way to look in deeper within to that complexity, sort of to pull it apart, see the stuff that it's made of, this spiritual path. So we're going to go to a break, and I look forward to it. We're going to talk a bit about humanity and philosophy and on to science when we get back.
Between the darkness on the street and the houses filling up with light, between the stillness in my heart and the roar of the approaching night, somebody's calling after somebody. Somebody turns a corner out of sight, looking for somebody somewhere in the night.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Kim and I are being joined by Donna Mitchell-Moniak today. And before the break, we were talking about Spirit Fire's upcoming class, The Stages of Awakening. We're talking about humanity's path of light. And we're talking about theology and the ways in which these various embodiments of the spiritual path offer humanity a greater sense of light. So when we sort of zoom out and we take a look at all of these different spiritual traditions, we sort of were talking about the way that these stories sort of suit a culture or suit a sort of aspect of our consciousness. But when we zoom out and look at them as a whole, they offer something to humanity's sort of unfolding light and humanity's spiritual path. So Donna, I know we're going to talk about it in the second segment of humanity. We're going to talk about ways in which Kabbalah, mystical Christianity, theosophy, Native American or Aboriginal sort of belief systems, Buddhism, the way that these sort of offer something to the spiritual path. I'm wondering if you could sort of either give us a few, go through them, and just tell us perhaps in a word or a few words the ways in which or what it is sort of vibrationally or within the message, within the practice that they offer humanity. What is it that each of them sort of offers us?
Sure. I'll give
That's a very simplistic question.
Sure. I'll give two examples and do so as condensed as possible. First is to look at the shamanic traditions of the world. So pick a shamanic tradition, North American, the Native Americans, the Aboriginal people of Australia, the Maori people, the Central American people. Pick a tradition. And if one investigates those traditions, we will find certain fundamental practices like nature, harmony, to be forefront. Then if we look at the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, it is born from the traditional Burn tradition. That is its original Tibetan people's shamanic tradition. So if we look at those two, shamanism and Tibetan Buddhism, they have an awful lot in common. They have ritual in common. Think about any shamanic tradition you can. There's dance, drum, movement, song, chant. There's a relationship deeply to the body. And that is so with Tibetan Buddhism. If we look at prayer, transcendence, prayer to the divine aspects that are all around, displaying in nature and displaying within one's human nature, that is congruent between the shamanic traditions and Tibetan Buddhism. So that's one example. A second example is if we look at the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life fundamentally comes from the ancient Egyptian teachings. And we can see the similarity very clearly in the Temple of Karnak in Egypt and its layout. And then superimpose upon that the Tree of Life, the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And we will find an awful lot of similarity in their layout. Then if we take the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, and many people might be familiar, it has, you know, two outer pillars, one central pillar, and then all these various circles in very specific places along the tree. Well, that too, if we live according to the practices and the teachings of the Kabbalah, we will find that they emphasize a bringing forward of the harmony of the heart, that's Tiferet, and understanding the various component factors of being human. So each sephira is one of those components of being human. Let's say trustworthiness or strength, these kinds of things, or, you know, a philosophical analytical mind. We can then, and here's the last layer, we can then put another transparency on top of that. So if we, like we did the Temple of Karnak, and we overlay the Tree of Life. Now let's overlay mystical Christianity. And let's kind of use some of the imagery of Greek Orthodox. So you would put Theotokos, who is the mother and the child, where the child, the Christ child, is at her heart. You would put that at the top of the Tree of Life. And you would put Christ as the teacher, with the, usually is showed with a book or a scroll. You'd put that at the heart, at Tiferet. And then you'd put the choirs of angels and all the ways that that's represented in mystical Christianity. You'd put that down at Malkut, which is at the root, at the foundation of the Tree of Life. So once again, we will find that there is all these fundamentals of light, fundamentals of advice that we have given to ourselves over and over and over again. And every tradition, whether we approach it theologically, philosophically, from humanities itself, even from science, we will find that there are just simply, we keep telling ourselves the same things over and over because they're the only things to really understand.
What I really appreciate about that, and as I always come to it in our conversations or in listening to your dialogue, is that, you know, it's actually much deeper than I was looking for. You know, sort of seeing that, okay, well, the Kabbalah is a word, and that mystical Christianity brought us this, that Native American brought us the appreciation of nature. It's just not that simple. In fact, it is that simple, but yet it's that much more complex that each one is actually bringing us quite similar aspects and quite a variety. I mean, that they are really very complex, but also similar is what I'm hearing. I almost, in my mind, was almost imagining each one as an unfolding to the next. Actually, they're all working in Congress to sort of relay these stories as this basically principles of which to live by that will bring about greater light, that will be an unfolding within our heart, will bring illumination to our mind. So I really appreciate the sort of breadth at which all of those are being approached. I would have not thought of Tibetan Buddhism as having that aspect of dance, for instance. So I really look forward to actually that segment and hearing about all of those different traditions and what they've offered us. But it leads me then to philosophy, which is the love of truth, because what I'm hearing about all of those is they are finding ways to bring forward fundamental truths of the heart, fundamental truths of the mind. And isn't that philosophy? Philosophy is, as I've heard you say many times, is Sophia and
philo.
Correct me or help me out.
Philo.
It's the love
philo
of truth.
Right. Philo means love, and Sophia is wisdom. So it's the love of truth or the love of wisdom.
Yes. And so philosophy is sort of very similar in that regard then. We've got these basic truths, and we've got this principle of bringing these truths to light. And I imagine that segment is going to be focused on that. What have we brought forward? What are the great truths that we've learned about humanity? And I would imagine what theology has taught us, what it's taught us about ourselves, these great truths, yeah?
Yeah. I think that there's two quick things come to mind. One is that philosophy and philosophers kind of have a small readership and a small interest base. And that's because they kind of stay pretty abstracted from everyday life, and yet what they are bringing forward is exactly an observation of everyday life and how to bring everyday life into a greater and greater state of benefit and harmony. And when we look at spiritual traditions, or we look at theological practices around the world, like religions, we see that the same principles are as philosophy are being given, but they're given in a more mass-oriented and mass-directing way. So that unto itself, to me, is just an interesting dynamic. But one of the focuses within how I'm going to approach philosophy is that it's not about only, you know, did Plato say this or that? Did Socrates say this or that? But in addition to a few items like that, which are very important, is to understand that humanity's philosophies come forward in some very interesting ways, that oftentimes it's through artists. You think about Georgia O'Keeffe. Think about Pina Bausch, who's a choreographer. Think about even Van Gogh, right? How Van Gogh brought forward illumination. Or you think about the Impressionists. So there's a certain, actually, philosophy that is behind their artwork, be it dance or certain authors have really fundamentally changed how we view ourselves or supported how we view ourselves. And equally so, you have somebody like Steve Jobs and his philosophy of equal playing field, and equal playing field, equal information, equal accessibility, and to do it in a fun way. Well, look at what we have as a result. But I would say that he was driven by a philosophy equally to how he was driven to invent newness.
Well, one thing I'm also hearing with all this, and especially with Steve Jobs, and I would add David Bowie to that. You know, he's sort of been at the forefront of all of our minds with his passing recently, and it's intuition. And, you know, I find that Steve Jobs, that was really what he wanted to bring to this complex world of computers, was allow one to use their intuition and for creativity and intuition to be very linked. And in some of your writings about this upcoming class, for instance, I'll just read a quote. It says that it will highlight the rhythm of intuition and illumination that teachers and philosophers have brought forward. So I find it interesting that that word intuition is there. For instance, you know, Van Gogh, he saw the simplification of he saw Fauvism coming. You know, he saw it coming. He brought this simplicity and this intuitiveness to Impressionism that people just, quite frankly, weren't ready for yet. David Bowie, you know, he creates this album and releases Starman just days before our landing on the moon. He released this album, Black Star, and basically created these videos that, in a way, speak very much of his passing, just before his passing. So in a way, the artists, as you're saying, they're sort of the intuitive. They possess the awareness. They possess the mindfulness. They've sort of trained themselves to be, in a way, the receivers of humanity's path. Where is it going? And then expressing it, showing us the way, you know, the way that where we're headed, and the way in which to get there quicker, I would say. So I appreciate you bringing artists in there, because I find that that link between intuition and illumination and mind is all there. So I'd love even a little more if I could hear about that link between intuition and illumination.
Sure. And within that, I think that we would look at even comedians. Of course, somebody like Robin Williams. I mean, you think about, sure, you know, his capacity for just almost manic presentation. But what was he presenting? He always presented truth. Yeah, I mean, we laughed because it was putting in front of us, mirroring to us in such a bright way, the truths of our own existence. So artistry will always illumine that, because it's usually bringing forward actually the pathos, right? The struggle, the human struggle, and wants to lead us to a more harmonious livingness. But artistry is a profound medium for philosophy.
Because especially comedians, I really appreciate that you say that. I've always found that they've got to be so intelligent, so wise, because you've really got to understand every nuance of the situation to sort of make it laughable, to sort of direct somebody down a storyline that they really allows sort of an experience to unfold to its common denominator truth, and it hits you. You know, and I think of Whoopi Goldberg as well. They take you on this journey of stories until finally the truth is revealed, and you realize they've masterfully done that all along. They were quite aware of what they were doing. So I can see the connection there. I appreciate that. And so science, you know, now we move on to another segment that has to do with, you know, we've got truth, so we've got this love of truth, and science seems to sort of clarify that or give us this very sturdy ground on which to stand with our truth so that we might take them further. That would be my take on science. I'm curious if, you know, what you might say about that word science.
Yeah, science unto itself, of course, is a method. There's a methodical, sequential, analytical process going on. But in a similar way to artistry, which seems to be so spontaneous and quite often is quite inspired, there is in science an equal inspiration. So if we look at, for instance, an older discovery that changed everything, revolutionized everything. So that was the Copernican Revolution. That, in essence, was that through scientific observations of the visible sky, that Copernicus and Tycho Brahe in Austria, they looked and watched how the planets moved. And in watching how the planets moved, because they are visible, Saturn, Venus, Jupiter are visible, then they could say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense that the church has informed us that the earth is the center of our quote-unquote universe. It doesn't make sense. And so they methodically, sequentially, analytically were inspired to bring forward a greater truth. The Copernican Revolution not only changed our way of looking at our earth and our sun, but it also then brought birthed several methods and scientific processes that we still are exploring today. So an example would be astrophysics, optics. So telescopes had to be invented, and Galileo did, right? And then that opened up everything. So we still have optics. So optics is now fiber optics. It's that we can talk to one another and talk to anybody anywhere on the planet. So this idea, and there are many other examples I could give that came from simply that one emphasis and discovery within science. So the point there is, yet again, the spiritual path is being lived in every facet of human experience, and that every facet of human experience brings forward more of our own self-illumination. And that makes humanity as a whole fulfill its purpose for being on Mother Earth in the first place.
So it's almost like coming at it from both ends. You know, I sort of see science then as in a way, the rectifier in a way. You know, it's a supporter, but it's also a clarifier. So I sort of see it as a reflection of our mind. Where are we actually? Where are we, you know, what is the ground we're standing on? And as I'm looking at the courses, as I'm looking at theology, then humanity, philosophy, and then science, it was interesting that you say science sort of correcting this church's point of view. So it's interesting to have those as bookends. I appreciate that theology is that course is going to be very much about the similarities and sort of the various mythologies that we can learn from. But I also appreciate science sort of taking us a step further, and where there needs to be correction, it's sort of stepping in the way and saying, well, here's facts, here's truth, and also showing us what we're capable of and where we might go from here.
Right, exactly. And then you have some very important people within science that are contemporaries, as an example, like Rupert Sheldrake or Bruce Lipton or even Nassim Haramein, who Sheldrake is all about the morphic field. What is a morphic field? It is simply that we all who share existence, whether we are plants, animals, or people, we all share an existence, and the key word there is share, and that yeah. creates a generative field of energy. That's why when you talk to a plant or you play a particular kind of music, it has an effect on the plant. That's why when you coo at a baby, the baby responds with a smile. When you speak nicely to an animal, your pet, and it hears the tone of your voice and it responds in kind. That is a oversimplification, but it serves for Sheldrake's profound scientific research in morphogenic fields. That, in other words, the field not only generates morphogenic, but it changes morphology to metamorphose like a butterfly. It changes everything in that field. And we see that. You coo at a baby, the baby smiles, and you smile back. It's very simple. And then you have somebody like Bruce Lipton. Bruce Lipton also comes out of the biology science background, but he has discovered through his own research that deep philosophical truths are correct, that we are, in fact, one, that we are, in fact, interdependent, interconnected, and one shared being. His work is profound, but his work is scientifically based. And then you have somebody like Nassim, who's taking through hard science, taking and putting into question certain, or putting into a different rubric, certain scientific and quantum physics theorems, and says, well, there's another way to look at that. And the electric universe model people, are doing the same. So
I look so forward to Nassim Haramein. I mean, when that unfolds, you just get the sense that, wow, we're going to make sense. We're going to really see this kind of combination of our spiritual selves and our scientific selves, and really get deep into where it is that we come from and where it is we may be going, and just the big picture. Very exciting.
Right, right. And so, and that the big picture is very easily illumined through through various single examples.
Yes. And that's our life. Various single examples. So our life on the path of awakening. And that is certainly what we've been doing through teaching people about the basics of meditation, ways to bring light to their lives, to actually gain some altitude to observe that path, the path we're on, to a greater awareness, to a greater consciousness, to see us, this world we're living in as group. So, Donna, we're just going to wind this down, and I'm going to just tell them to go to spiritfire.com, look under our programs, and that's all listed there. The class begins next week, and you can register at spiritfire.com.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for this.
Yes,
for sharing the afternoon with me.
Indeed. Thank you, Donna. We look very much forward to the class.
We'll see you again next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.